He had a tough time for many years. However, he believed he was able to endure severe hardships and troubles with the help of God. His name was David Livingstone, a great man of God. He believed that God had a purpose for his life. And later he said, "A man never dies until he completes the purpose that God plans." It seems to me that many people never even think about the purpose of their own lives. What do you think about the meaning and purpose of your life? As a believer of God, we should consider what is the reason and the purpose of our lives. Over four centuries ago, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which tells us man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This means that the ultimate purpose of our living is to live and work for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." We are told that believers of Christ are to glorify God wherever they go and whatever they do. Let us look at the Bible. In the following passage, there was a man who said to Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In the time of Jesus, it was very common for a man to ask respected teachers about their private matters, such as inheritance. From this paragraph, we suppose that the man was probably not happy with his inheritance. He might have wanted Jesus to help him to get more than his portion of the inheritance. According to the law of Moses, the firstborn is entitled to receive a double portion of his father's inheritance compared to the other siblings. How did Jesus reply? Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Here, possessions can include money, wealth, personal intelligence, and spiritual gifts. Jesus allowed people to own their possessions, but pointed out the abundance of them. The whole sentence can be translated, "For even if a man has an abundance, his life does not come from his possessions." Abundance in Greek is periseo, which means to exceed a fixed number or measure, to be over and above a certain number or measure. It simply means over the average. The rich man had much possession, which led him to be proud of himself. However, our God allows his people to have different kinds of possessions: money, wealth, personal intelligence, and spiritual gifts. These are to be wisely used for God and others. This is God's purpose. As you know, we learned from the Bible that the Apostle Paul was known as a great teacher and evangelist in his time. Thanks to his great efforts, the gospel had been proclaimed to many countries in the early days of Christianity. In the early part of his ministries, he endeavored to serve God using his own strength. But he struggled to discover the real purpose of his life. Later, on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus as Lord and Savior in a vision. From this time, the purpose of his life was very clear. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and counted all as garbage. All I want is Christ." Think about this purple message in relation to our own life. Many of us are still looking for the real purpose of our lives. Paul tells us Jesus Christ, Jesus Christus, is the beginning. Once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we can progress to live and work for Him in this world. Jesus continued to address the purpose of our lives through the parable of the rich fool. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 16 to 18, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What should I do? I have no place to store my crops. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods.'" The rich man must have earned much money and wanted to use it for his own purpose. The Romans has a proverb which says, "Money is like sea water. The more a man drinks, the thirstier he becomes." 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Here, the lover of money is the person who is self-centered, not God-centered. So the man works for himself, not for others. In the country of Israel, there are two great lakes, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Has anyone been there before? Both of them are lakes, but they are very different. The Sea of Galilee is alive, but the Dead Sea is truly dead. There's no life in it. What makes this difference? The Northern Sea of Galilee is fed from the north and is in turn is feeding the famous Jordan River to the south. Water flows in and water flows out. However, the Southern Sea, called the Dead Sea, is in receive-only mode. All water flows in, and none flows out. It seems to me that one lake is full of flow and life, but another is full of sadness. These two lakes can be likened to people. True Christians are like the Sea of Galilee. God's power comes into them, and in turn, believers go out and deliver his love and grace with others. Without true belief in Christ, people will be like the Dead Sea. They will die without purpose. Which one are you, like the Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea? Are you giving out or only receiving? Our Lord Jesus tells us, you are the soul of the earth and the light of the world. Our God uses believers as the soul of life and to shine in the darkness as the light of life. Let us look again at the rich man in the Bible. The rich man said to himself in Luke 12, verse 19, you, I have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. The man had worked hard and earned much money. He could choose to use it, all of it for himself, because it was all his own property. I wonder through this if this helped him to gain a real happiness. In the early centuries of Christianity, it was very hard to be Christian, and many believers were persecuted. But they survived and discovered their great joyfulness through the acts of meeting and serving God together. Let us read together. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Many of the early believers shared their gifts, wealth, and belongings with others. And thus God blessed them, and the church increased in numbers. So how do we apply these principles of sharing and working together to our own church here? Sometimes we don't always share and work together well. But we are here to help share our spiritual gifts and our wealth with others so that we can please God and work out our purpose of service in this world. In the early days, there were conflicts between the Jewish and Gentile believers of Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 2, we are told that one such conflict occurred as they were looking after the elderly at the congregation. In the process of conflict during the service, believers came to understand that they were neglecting the word of God and prayer. The believers in this passage, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. After they chose to spend more time on Bible studies and prayers rather than neglecting this in their service, the church had grown. We are able to learn from the early believers that Christians are to focus on God with the Word of God and prayers and helping others. In this world, some people tend to discover the purpose of their living through money, wealth, or possessions. We need them at some stage, but they don't guarantee our real happiness. Humans were designed to find their purpose of living in God. Once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will be guided by God in order to find the purpose of our living. In the Bible, a leper had no hope, but he was given a new life after he met Jesus. A paralyzed man was completely cured after his friends took him to Jesus. The difference between the leper and the paralyzed man was that one man came to Jesus by himself, and another was taken to Jesus with the help of his friends. This shows us that we are able to come to Jesus in many different ways. I believe that our life's purpose starts with our relationship with Jesus. Let us learn from the ministry of Jesus, because he just started his ministry with 12 disciples and sent them out to preach the word of God to other people so that more people could come to God. Anyone who came to Jesus was healed, transformed, and given a new life. This is what we know from the Bible. As believers of Christ, we are told to guide people to God so that they can find their own purpose for their living through God. A Jewish proverb says, "Making someone happy is like spraying perfume onto his or her body." If we spray perfume onto someone's body, some perfume would also spray on us. This would make us happy in return. Helping others to God is not an easy job. But as we progress, we are able to come to gain a real happiness. Even though deaf and blind, Helen Keller became the most famous disabled person in the world. She said, "To live is a great thing. However, to live for others is more than this. To live is a great thing, but to live for others is more than this." Without the help of Anne Sullivan, she would not have succeeded and become the inspiring woman in her life. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Here, Luke tells us that helping others will give us back more than we expected. From this, we find that the more we help others, the more happiness and satisfaction we will gain, and we will be blessed, because our Lord made us to live and work for others. Our church has worked mightily in supporting overseas missionaries and helping our New Zealand neighbors to come to know God through a variety of works, such as Many Music, Playgroup, Holiday Program, ESOL, Barbecue Church, Youth, and Children's Ministries. I discovered the purpose of my living while I was helping others to believe in God and know more about God. Previously, I had difficulty finding any satisfaction while I lived and worked only for myself. Let us go back to the story. The rich man had many crops and wanted to build a great barn to keep his profits. Jesus said to the man in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 20, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" The man had a lot of things in this world, but he was very wealthy. He was not given to spend his wealth, and he could not take anything with him when he died. Our life is very short. Nobody knows when we will die. Nobody knows what will happen in our lives. If we knew everything in the future, we would be able to prepare in advance. King Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" He tells us that he realized that all his wealth and experiences were meaningless without God. And he wished that he had come to God earlier in his youth. Let us consider what we learned from the story. I spoke about the same parable of the rich fool to a relative when I came to South Korea about 2 years ago. We both were moved by the message. The message underlies the importance that we believers are to live and work hard for God and His people. Because God wants this world to be full of His love and His grace. Let us look at this last verse. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 21, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." We are told that we may not have time to enjoy our wealth and our lives. However, we work for them. We learned many things from this sermon about the rich fool. Our Lord Jesus expects believers to use all of our gifts, money, and belongings for God and others. Because our God wants more people to come to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our God also wants us to live and work for Him and others. Let us pray to our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Word of God. Help us to use all of our gifts, talents, belongings for you and for others. We want this world to be more godly and more people to gain knowledge and to come to you. Help us continue to live and work for you. Bless all of us in this church. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.